Today's scripture lesson is from Matthew chapter 13, 31 through 32, found on page 691 of your pew Bibles. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it was the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden of the plants, and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch on its branches.
Good morning. If you would pray with me. Dear God, as we share in this time together, I would ask that you open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, that we would gain peace, understanding, and joy from the study of your word. I ask that you quiet all distractions that might draw us away from hearing you speak to us in our lives. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Tom Selleck is an actor, a Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his prolific mustache and his roles in television series Blue Bloods, Friends, and Magnum P.I. In an episode of Magnum P.I., he's sharing some words of wisdom given to him by his father. He says, "My dad once gave me a few words of wisdom, which I've always tried to live by. He said, 'Son, never throw a punch at a redwood.' Now, why would anyone want to take a swing at a redwood tree? These trees, if you've ever seen them, whether in person or in pictures, they're huge. They're 25 feet in diameter and upwards of 200 feet tall. And if you took a swing at one, your fist would be worse for wear, and the tree probably wouldn't have any markings on it whatsoever. But what if somebody took a swing at your faith, or took several swings at your faith? Today we are going to be looking at how we can have faith like a redwood, drawing parallels to how our faith develops, to how a tree, or the redwood tree develops, using the lens of Jesus' parable of the mustard seed to help us focus in. And there are three main points that we're going to be concentrating on. One is that a seed and our faith have humble beginnings. Two, there is growth. And then three, when we reach maturity, how our faith can be a benefit to others. Starting off, we begin with our faith starting small, much like a mustard seed. In the parable that Lexi read this morning, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field, though it is the smallest of all seeds." I don't know if any of you have ever seen a mustard seed before, but they are very, very small, 1 to 2 millimeters in size. And the mustard plant is something that the people hearing this parable would have known very well. Some of them probably even thought of them as weeds because of their uncanny ability to spread so quickly and widely because of these tiny seeds. Some of you may know, before I started here at Faith Church, I worked at a spice factory. And in this spice factory, we kept many different spices in stock. One of these spices was whole mustard seeds, which we kept on a pallet, and I think they were 50-pound paper bags. One day, a careless fork truck driver got too close to this pallet and tore a hole in 7 or 8 of these bags. And let me tell you, for the days, weeks, and months that followed, any time we went and swept out the warehouse, we were always getting mustard seeds. And I'm pretty sure I have a pair of boots at home that still have mustard seeds embedded in the soles. Likewise, the redwood tree has very humble beginnings. If you took some redwood seed and placed them on the face of a quarter, you could fit as many as 13 seeds on the face. And this is amazing to me, that something so small could grow so large under favorable conditions. I mean, think of it. Something that you could fit 13 on the face of a quarter could grow to something the size that you could drive your automobile through. Every new believer's faith, likewise, has humble beginnings. It starts off small, but then grows. But just because our faith starts off small doesn't mean it isn't powerful. We read later on in this very gospel, in chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, "Because you have so little faith, Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Some of you may notice that on a normal Sunday morning, after I read the scriptures, I disappear for a little while, and I usually go to the bank or back of the sanctuary, take off my microphone, and go downstairs and check on our nursery and preschool classes. We are very blessed here at Faith Church to have a nursery and preschool that are nearly bursting at the seams on any given Sunday morning. And this is a very powerful message because these are the seeds of the future church. Any one of these children could go on and make a huge impact in the world in the name of Christ. You may recognize names like Luther, Knox, Calvin, and Wesley. These are the men who helped found our faith and made it what it is today. But each of them had humble beginnings, but then they grew, which brings us to our next point about how we can have faith like a redwood, and that's growth. You can easily tell if something is growing or a mustard seed was growing because you'd plant it in the ground, and then if it popped up, you knew it was growing. If it didn't, well, that meant the seed was bad. The people in Jesus' time would have easily known that the mustard seed could grow anywhere between 3 and 5 feet tall in a single growing season. However, it could grow as high as 10 to 15 feet tall, but just as wide. And we too, as Christians, need to be growing our faith. But how can we grow our faith? In 2 Peter 3:18 it says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen." In this passage, Peter is urging his readers to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. Growing in our faith is oh so important because it helps us combat attacks against our faith. Likewise, we can parallel a healthy tree to a healthy faith because there's always growth. If you were to, again, go to the Pacific coast to see the redwood forest, you may see trees that are as old as 2,000 years, but the majority of which would be between 50 and 150 years old. But no matter what the age of the tree, they all have something in common. They all continue to grow. On average, even the oldest of redwood trees grow between 3 and 10 feet a year. The sinful world will always challenge our faith, and all of us have room for growth. As we draw closer to Christ, we will be prepared to stand up for what is right, no matter what the circumstances. But what happens if we don't grow in our faith? We see in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, or gives us the answer. It says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." This past Thursday, my daughter Emmy reached a milestone in her life. She ate solid food for the first time. Amanda mushed her up some avocado, I think it was, and gave it to her, and she ate it. In that same time, I had roast, or what was it? We had a pot roast and carrots and potatoes that Amanda had cooked in the crock pot all day. There's a big difference between what Emmy ate and what I ate. Because I'm a grown man, I am not going to eat steamed avocado. Avocado's good for guacamole, but that's about it. Likewise, I wouldn't go feeding my 6-month-old child pot roast because I am a man. However, we tend to get bogged down in our faith. And sometimes, as adults, we resign ourselves to eating baby food. Here at Faith Church, we have put an emphasis on Christian education at every level. With our youth in God's big backyard, to our teens and older kids who have 2 Sunday school classes of their own, and our Christian Endeavor youth group that meets. And for our adults, the 4 adult Sunday school classes that we offer on Sunday mornings. And let me just say, It is amazing and such a blessing that our church still offers all of these different opportunities to grow in our faith, because there are many churches around this area and also around the nation that are cutting Sunday school programs altogether. And then finally, we reach our last point, how at maturity our faith can benefit others. It says, or Jesus says in this parable, that when the plant grows, it becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Israel before or have ever seen pictures of Israel, but it's a very hot, dry, and arid place in the summer. I looked up some statistics online, and on average, in the summer months, the temperature is 90 degrees in Israel, and between the months of May and September, there is virtually zero rainfall, which kind of sounds like us now, but no. And the mustard tree, like I said, could grow up to 10 to 15 feet tall and has rather leafy branches, so the birds would flock to it because of the shade, because just that little temperature difference could mean the whole world to them. Now imagine it this way. I know that it's been hot the last couple months, or the last month or so, and if you left your car out in a parking lot and went and ran some errands, and you came back to your car, how would your car feel? It would be a literal blast oven because the sun was literally baking the inside of your car. But what if you were lucky enough to get and park your car in some shade? It would feel a whole lot better getting back to it. Likewise, the redwood tree provides for the animals of the forest around it. One particular bird, the marbled murrelet, which is a seabird, will exclusively nest in the redwood tree because of their heights, keeping them and their eggs safe when they come to rest. The redwood tree provides a need. In his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, Paul says, "As it is written, they have freely given their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seeds and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Church, this is our mandate, to go out and enrich the lives of those around us. God has blessed us, and he wants us to share in that blessing. How many of you are a member of the YMCA? Anybody? Karen? Okay. When I think of the YMCA, I think of the place that I learned to swim when I was 6 or 7 and that ridiculous Village People song. But how many of you know how the YMCA got its start? Anyone? No. Well, in 1844, industrialized London was a place of great turmoil and despair. A man by the name of George Williams, a farmer turned into a department store worker, was troubled by all of this despair that he saw. And he and 11 of his friends joined together to organize the very first Young Men's Christian Association, or YMCA, as a refuge of Bible study and prayer for young men seeking to escape the hazards of life on the streets. Now today, we all know that the YMCA is in more than 10,000 communities across the United States, and as the nation's leading nonprofit, they provide help for those in need and provide community learning and support. Our church has put an emphasis on outreach and missions as well. From our local missions that we support, like Joshua's Haven Men's Shelter in Sharon, which we provide food and monetary support, to the monetary support we give to the Seneca Hills Camp, which takes in so many of our youth for summer camps, to the Salvation Army, which many of you here in November and December will be ringing the bell for the Red Kettle campaign. Our church believes in outreach and missions, like a redwood tree. Now today we have seen how our faith is like a redwood tree, how it has small beginnings, how there's growth, and how at maturity it benefits others. But friends, there's one last thing that I would like to leave with you. If you look at a 200-foot redwood tree, you would imagine that its roots would bury deep into the ground, holding that huge, massive tree upright. But this is not the case. Redwood trees, in fact, have a very shallow root system that reach out hundreds of feet from the base, intertwining with the roots of other redwoods. And this way, their stability is increased during winds and floods. Friends, as we prepare for communion this Sunday morning, I want to leave you with this. A redwood tree's strength isn't of itself. Its strength comes from those around it. Equally, as Christians, our faith comes from those around us and from Christ. Only then can we have faith like a redwood. Let us go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I once again thank you for this day, and as we prepare for communion, Father, I ask that you open our hearts to your Holy Spirit as we partake in these elements. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.